Hello, witches. Happy Christmas Eve, if that's what you're doing, or just happy random Saturday in December. We're here having a warm, cozy night in, and I am joined by Kiki Dombrowski, friend of the podcast, as we sip hot chocolates and enjoy a special extra episode of the podcast. So hi, Kiki.
Hello, how are you? And happy holidays.
Happy holidays. I asked Kiki to come on with us tonight and have a little fun. I knew I wanted to do something for today, but I wasn't quite sure what. But then I was listening to a podcast called Normal Gossip, and they played a game that I want to play with you all and Kiki today. So it's a very middle school slash high school slash adults don't change game of telephone. We're going to play telephone.
Okay.
So like gossip is like a fact of life and no community is immune, including the witch one. I think we've all heard our fair share of gossip. However, I didn't want to share real gossip. Because that feels icky, right? That feels weird. So instead, I crafted a story and invited a few of our listeners on tonight to participate. They didn't know what they were doing until the end afterwards, where I told each one what was going on. And Kiki, we had our listeners play a game of telephone. And are you ready to see what we got?
So ready. Oh my God, this is amazing.
Or hear what we got. So before we get going, what are your feelings on like gossip? Do you think there's like ethical gossip? What's too far? What's okay? What even is gossip? I got into a conversation with a friend about that. Like it's fascinating.
Well, I think there are we all have our close group of people that we spill the tea with and we trust to spill the tea with. I think that everybody is going to want to talk about other people. It's what influences us. It impacts how we feel. It can be inspiring. It could be exciting. I think when it goes from trying to work through the mechanics of being social to just being petty and mean about somebody, that could be a real issue. I don't know. I always used to say that I'm a Gemini and we're very prone to chatter. And so I like to watch Days of Our Lives. So I always say that gets my gossip out because I could just, gossip about these make-believe characters instead of people. But I'm also really sweet in general. That's just my disposition. So I'm not going to swear, but I mean, there's a difference between gossiping and talking crap, right?
Talking crap. Yeah.
I think that when I define gossip, I think of just, sitting around and going, did you hear about what happened to so-and-so? And we live in a world where we're so connected, and it does. It impacts each of us, our relationships with each other. To me, I feel like if it's harmless just to exchange stories or to say I'm concerned or excited about somebody, there's no harm. When you get into the talking crap category and you start, you got to check yourself too, because I mean, if all you have to say is really negative things about other people and, or even spreading rumors or allowing your mental energy to be consumed on how much you dislike somebody else or somebody else's business, how do we return that focus to self?
No, I agree with pretty much everything you said. Like, I do think I define gossip a little differently than other people. And it kind of came about when I had a friend say to me, yeah, my friend, like, she was talking to me and she said, yeah, my friend says that I gossip a lot. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I've never heard you gossip. And I realized we had different definitions of gossip. So I define gossip as telling stories that are not true.
Ah,
and I was like, I've okay. never heard you tell, I've never, you've never said anything that wasn't true. So you mean just telling information? If it's true, almost, it's just information.
But maybe I would look at it as like, I don't know if this is my business or not, and I don't know if this is your business, but let's share this info. You know, it's like, yeah. It's like, it's almost like, I don't know if this is my business, but I want to talk about it anyways, which is why I always say, like, I watch Days of Our Lives, because then I get involved in their business and it doesn't, you know, like,
it doesn't harm anyone.
It's not a real person. But yeah. Yeah.
I definitely agree though. Like, I'm a Gemini moon, so I also love to talk. And I mean, I have a podcast. I think that tells you that. But no, I agree. I think there's like a healthy, normal level of gossip. And I've even heard people talk about gossip in a form of like activism. Like, it's the people in power who don't want you to talk, who don't want you to tell the stories, who don't want you to spread the information because then they can get away with so much, right? So it's almost like gossip can be a form of like empowerment. Because when you're, you know, you're not letting people get away with like shady, shifty behavior. Yeah. But I like innocent, clean, fun gossip. Like, oh my gosh, did you hear so-and-so like what she said at dinner? Like, oh my gosh, like it's cool. But I also heavily agree with you with, people who let disliking people become their whole personality. Like, I've had to kind of stop having conversations with some people because it was just always so hateful and negative. And I'm just, and it does sometimes reflect on you. It's like, why is this such a big part of your life? Disliking, yeah. You know? So I think there's a healthy way to do it.
Yeah. And I, you know, it was definitely a motherism. Something my mom would say is if they're going to talk poorly about somebody to you, they're probably talking about you poorly to somebody else. Yeah.
I think about that all the time. I think about that
me too.
All the time. Because we all have that one friend who just never has anything nice to say about anybody. And you're like, I can't be the one person you talk nice about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Funny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so luckily today our gossip here is fake, so it's good clean fun.
Yes, I'm excited.
So our story was retold only four times.
Okay.
Four times. So this is the equivalent of like I tell you the truth, ideally the truth, right? So mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my gosh, Kiki, like this wild thing happened. Oh my God. And then, so this is the equivalent of like, you tell your brother who then mentions it to maybe his girlfriends over dinner, who mentions it to her coworker, who then is just like really bored on the phone with her mom. And it's like, you won't believe what I heard. Like that's the span of movement we have here today.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay.
So it might not be crazy dramatic. The podcast, Normal Gossip, who did a version of this, they did a real story, though, so it was a little wilder. But they did it over 10 iterations.
Oh.
And just as a listener, I was just getting tired of hearing the story. so I was like, let's not do that to our people. Kiki, I'm going to have you here. You're going to be the last person on the telephone, and you're going to hear the story, and then we're going to get your thoughts on it, and then we'll have you listen to the real story.
Oh, my God. This
okay,
is
are you ready?
Amazed. Oh, my God. So ready.
I feel kind of weird telling this story because of the implications, but let me just get your take on it. So I have a friend and she's in a coven, and the coven meets regularly at this girl's house, this lady. Her name is either Amy or Annie. I couldn't catch it. And so the coven is there, and they are getting ready to perform ritual, and this woman shows up, and she's late, and then she just walks right in, and she doesn't talk to anybody, and she performs the ritual with everybody as if she were just already a part of this group. Of this coven, but nobody knows who she is. And then so my friend saw the woman after everything, saw her talking to Amy or Annie's husband. And so my friend was like, huh, well, maybe, you know, she's just shy or was invited by him or something like that. So she just kind of wrote it off. And then so everybody leaves. And then a couple of days later, my friend realizes that she has to give something to Amy or Annie. And so she's calling her and texting her. She's not getting any responses whatsoever. So she's a bit concerned about that. But, you know, she just understands that everybody's life gets crazy busy. So she decides to just go by there. And so she goes over to the house and knocks on the door. And it's the woman who showed up late to the coven. She answers the door and says that, oh, you know, everybody's out of town. The family went out of town. And so my friend was like, huh, that's weird. I would have known that, maybe, unless it was last minute. And then so as my friend is walking away, she looks up and she sees the husband looking down on her from the window. So that's it. That's all I've got. That's all I know.
That's it? What happened?
Okay, so where's Annie? We don't know. So Kiki, who are the main players of this story that you're aware of?
Annie or Amy.
And who is she?
She's wifey. The wifey who is hosting a coven.
Yes. Okay.
And then I'm just gonna abbreviate A's husband.
Husband.
And the mystery lady.
And mystery lady. Okay, are you ready to hear the actual story?
Oh my god.
And then we'll go through each iteration and see what was lost.
this is amazing. Like, I'm like, what happened to the wife? What happened? What is going on? Okay, yes, I'm ready.
My friend Jenny lives in Portland, and we were recently on the phone, and she was updating me on, like, all the witch drama going on out there, because, you know, we all enjoy hearing it when it's not about us. So Jenny is a part of this casual coven of about 10 people, and she's always really enjoyed it. Potlucks, rituals, sabbats, things like that. Well, the main person who organizes it, Abby, is like super kind and always offers to use her home for all the coven meetings. She's like a real Ray Dunn type of gal, like perfect home, famous blueberry tart. Meetings are always well stocked with snacks and wine. And Jenny has always said Abby comes off more as like a Mormon Instagram influencer mom than a witch. But, you know, like different strokes, different like folks, whatever, right? So Jenny has been a part of this group for like 2 years now. And during this coven's big Samhain ritual, which as you can imagine is like a big deal for like most of the coven members, if not all of them. Well, this random woman just like shows up to the festivities. No one recognizes her, and Abby just like suddenly seems uncomfortable, which for someone who is clearly like this grade A host just like seems a little strange. So she tells everyone that it's her sister and that everyone should just like go about activities as usual. We're still like, you know, it's cool. Like she's just gonna like join us, I guess. So this whole thing is just odd. And then one of the coven mates says this woman is like really not participating and is just like doing nothing but talking to Abby's husband, Jim, and like literally to nobody else. Even though people are trying to get to know this woman because she's like suddenly a part of their ritual. Well, then Jenny says that after feasting and before the big ritual, which they've been practicing now for like weeks, this woman leans over to her and tells her that Abby was married once before, and she doesn't really know whatever happened to her first husband, and that Jim and her have only been married for about 4 years. Which, like, cool, but, like, a weird thing to just tell a complete stranger. According to Jenny, they all do the ritual, like a basic honoring of Hecate sort of thing, and it goes well, and everybody goes home. And ideally, that should be the end of the story, except it is so not. The next day, Jenny sees on Instagram that Abby's black cat, Jinx, is missing. And Jenny's like kind of worried that maybe the night before one of the coven mates let the cat out by accident during the events of the night. So Jenny, just kind of feeling bad, offers to come over to help Abby like look and things like that. But Abby assures her everything is fine and not to come over. Well, Jenny then doesn't hear from Abby for like a month, and they need to start planning for Yule, right? Like Samhain and then Yule, it comes real fast. So she calls, nothing, messages, nothing. Then she finally decides to stop by Abby's place because like, where's my friend, you know? Only Abby does not answer the door. Instead, it's Abby's sister, the random woman from before who showed up to their ritual, and she tells Jenny that Abby and her husband went on vacation, which seems innocent enough. However, Jenny says that as she was leaving, she swears up and down she saw Abby's husband, Jim, like looking out from the upstairs window. So she's just confused, right? And Jenny does not know what to make of any of this. So she messages her best friend in Portland because, like, I'm her best friend, but not her Portland best friend. And she's also a part of the coven, right? Her name's Diana. And she tells Diana everything. Everything that the woman said at the Samhain thing, and then the cat thing, and then not hearing, you know, like, it's just everything. And Diana doesn't really know what to do either, you know? And at this point, they decide to just, like, let things lie for a bit. Because, you know, you don't want to seem strange. So let everything lie for a bit and see if Abby makes an appearance. But then another 2 weeks goes by. Nothing. No activity on Abby's social media. Nothing on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, nothing. No texts. Like, no phone calls that they know of to any of the other coven mates. So that was all I had heard from Jenny until today. So she updated me. Apparently, Laura and Diana had a meeting with the coven last night to discuss what to do next. And as of right now, they're all trying to figure out what they should do. Should they do anything? And yes, so that's where we're at. That's like the hot goss of the Portland witches. What do you think they should do?
Ooh. So we lost a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of to be continued suspense happening here too. Some true crime kind of feel to it.
There is. So one of the questions I asked our telephone participants was, what would you do? What would you do in this situation, do you think, if you were Jenny?
If I was Jenny at this point, I would be in touch with the police.
Yeah, it's wellness check time.
Yeah, this is, it's way beyond. I think that, it's at the point where people have to contact somebody that can help in a very professional way to make sure that their friend is okay, hopefully.
All that changed between the final iteration and the original iteration. One, we lost Abby's name.
Mm-hmm.
We lost husband's name. We and lost Jenny. That it, Jenny's name and Diana. Mm-hmm. All names are lost. We completely lost the entire cast.
Yeah, or Portland.
And Portland.
It being in Portland.
In Portland. We lost the whole cat situation.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What else? We lost that it was her sister. It was just a...
But that even that was a little bit of, like, mm-hmm. debatable. Because wasn't Abby like, well, it's my sister. But didn't even...
It was mysterious.
It was still... She was uneasy. She didn't want to see this person. And it was like... She came up with something quick to just keep things moving.
To brush it off. We completely mm-hmm. lost Abby's questionable past.
Oh, that's right. With the relationship that didn't work. Although I feel
with
like
the mysteriously missing husband.
Oh, that's right. See, even I forgot that already.
Yeah. We lost all of the coven interaction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else did we lose?
Samhain. I didn't know it was a Samhain ritual.
We lost that I think Jenny had been in contact with Abby after the ritual to try to help her find her cats. Mm-hmm. We lost mm-hmm. the no trace on social media.
Or the fact that she was a great hostess, like a Ray Dunn hostess.
Her vibe, yeah. We completely lost Abby's identity.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. But what's funny is that, one, this is a fun episode, so I'm not going to be a downer, but... This is something that happens, right? Like when we hear about stories of like real life situations, how people will sometimes tend to kind of hone in on one aspect and lose absolutely everything else. And that's why the original story is kind of riddled with all these little different things you could hone in on. Because I was curious to see what people would particularly hone in on. But... We just listened to the original. Do you want to listen to the first retelling?
Yes, I do. See, now you've got me interested, and I want to hear what... I mean, we listened to the last iteration, but now I want to see what was most important to the next couple of people. Like, what was the stuff they grabbed onto and had to share?
So my friend Jenny and I were talking on the phone the other day, and she lives in Portland, and she's part of this like casual coven of about 10 people or so. And she was telling me all their witchy drama, because who doesn't like listening to drama that they're not involved in. And so anyway, there's Abby, who's the woman who organizes it. And she's like this super sweet, nice woman, but like a real Ray Dunn type. Has like her home's all perfectly made. She makes the perfect blueberry tarts. She does all these great things and always hosts all the meetings for the coven. And so anyway, they were getting ready to have their Samhain ritual. And when they were having their Samhain ritual and they were all getting prepared and things, this woman showed up that they didn't know, I guess.
none of the other members knew. But even though Abby comes off as like this really great host, she got really uncomfortable, which seems kind of strange. But she kind of played it off, I guess, as like it's her sister or something, and said that everybody should go about their regular activities and they were going to still do their ritual and do everything as normal. And so then as the night progresses, somebody noted, I guess one of the coven members said that she wasn't really talking to anyone else though, other than Abby's husband, Jim, which was kind of strange, but you know, whatever. It just, I guess, felt odd for them because they had to include her now in their ritual. But anyway, so the night progresses and they're getting ready to do their ritual. They had feasted, and as they were getting ready to do that, she leaned in and told my friend Jenny that Abby had been married once before, I guess, but nobody knows what happened to her husband. And so, you know, Jenny kind of thought that was a little odd. I think it's a little odd too. But whatever, you know, and they continued on with everything. I guess they kind of did a little ritual to Hecate type thing. Everything went well and everybody had fun, and then they left for the night. And that should be the end of the story, but it isn't. Because then Jenny got on Instagram and noticed that Abby's cat went missing, her black cat Jinx. And so, you know, Jenny felt really bad, as who wouldn't, and offered to help look for the cat. But Abby said not everything was fine, even though her cat was missing. So she didn't. And I guess a couple weeks went by from that. And then Jenny reached out, and because it was, you know, they needed to start planning for Yule, because Samhain and then Yule falls really close. And she wasn't hearing anything from Abby, like no messages back, no phone calls, nothing of the sort. And so then I think Jenny said she drove over there to go see what was up, because like who wouldn't want to check on their friend? And when she knocked on the door, it wasn't Abby that answered. It was that woman, her supposed sister. And so she answered the door, and I guess she told Jenny that Abby and her husband had gone on vacation. And that seemed like that was probably correct, kosher, nobody knows. But as Jenny was walking away, she swears up and down that she saw Jim standing in the upstairs window looking down, which Jenny thought was kind of odd. So even though Jenny talked to me about all this and told me, she also obviously called one of her Portland best friends, and who is also a coven member, Diana, and asked Diana about what had happened and told Diana about everything that happened and her thoughts. And Diana was kind of very confused too, but they didn't want to like seem weird. So they kind of dropped it for a little bit and was like, maybe Abby will make an appearance. You know, maybe she really is on vacation, who knows? And they thought they'd just kind of see how it goes. But two more weeks passed. And so the last I heard from Jenny, she said that the coven members had held a meeting ask about what they should do, because nobody really knows if they should do anything or even what to make of the whole situation as a whole. But yeah, that was the last I had heard from her, and that's the hot gossip from the Portland witches. And so we're just wondering, you know, what should they do?
Okay, so did you find that there was any really big differences between this story and the original story?
She remembered more than I did from the original story. Dang, that was good.
But so I did track the differences, because I was like, even though there aren't many, I mean, we're going to be, it's going to be exponential in the next ones. But so one thing we lost in this iteration is the mysteriousness around the previous husband.
Oh, wow.
So that was clearly not something that she deemed like important. But two things were kind of inserted a little bit. And that is, she definitely had heightened suspicion around the sister relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because she used the terms played it off as her sister instead of, oh, this woman just said, hey, this is my sister. And then she also added in extra strangeness around this woman talking to Abby's husband, which is so funny because if you think about it logically, it's not weird a woman would talk to her brother-in-law. But because of the perspective, it feels very strange, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting. I like that. I picked that up as well. And the way that I felt, it's like she was telling a story, but she was inserting her reaction. Like, whoa, that was strange. That was, she didn't use the word strange and awkward, but you could tell she was like inserting her opinion or her reaction to it. And yeah, that started to add suspense, a little bit of drama, made it, she was really good at telling gossip. Like you could just tell, I was like, I just need to know what happened to poor Abby.
To Abby. And like, that is what makes this game so fun, is because people are going to heighten up the things they thought of were important, and then they're going to tone down the things they don't think are important. So, okay, are you ready to hear the next iteration?
Ooh, am I ever? Yes.
So the story is the narrator's friend, Jenny, who is a witch in Portland, she goes to a coven meeting for Samhain for, I believe the house is her friend, Annie. Annie has a bunch of people over, and then a woman shows up who Annie doesn't seem too happy to see. And this woman doesn't talk to really anyone else at the coven meeting other than Annie's husband. And it turns out this woman is Annie's sister. The rest of the coven is annoyed because this woman is not really being part of the group, and she's kind of hanging out. So the night goes on and everything's fine. And then a couple weeks later, Annie mentions on social media that her black cat is missing, but that it's not a big deal and she doesn't want her friends to look for it. Everyone thinks this is strange, but okay. And then a few more weeks go by and Annie is now missing. Coven talks to each other amongst themselves. They have a meeting and tries to figure out how to handle this situation. So one of them eventually goes, and I think it's Jenny, goes to the house, Annie's house, and the sister answers the door and says that Annie and her husband are on vacation. Except Jenny looks up in the window and sees Annie's husband there. And now everyone is really confused as to what's going on. And I think that's the gist of the story.
Oof. Okay, so.
Well, we lose the name. Now she's Annie and not Abby.
Yeah, we lost Abby.
The timeline got skewed a little bit, didn't it?
It did. So we had that Jinx was missing, which did we lose Jinx's name?
Oh my God, I can't remember. See?
Oh, I can't remember. The game. I can't remember. Okay. So we might have lost Jinx's name. We might not have, but so Jinx in the original story was missing the next morning, which is why Jenny was concerned, thinking one of them had accidentally like maybe let the cat out. But in this iteration, Jinx is missing weeks later. And then Annie is suddenly missing. So now their missingness is now connected, whereas it really hadn't been before. Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then the other thing, too, was they said that the coven met to talk before Jenny went to the house.
Which is not how it happens.
Right. It was the other way around.
And now you can see why we cannot really trust people in these true crime shows.
Or the That's what I've learned. TikTok.
Yeah, oh my God. also, the night the sister shows up, which is funny, this person is more confident it is a sister versus the last story, who was very unsure about the whole sister thing. This person just says it's her sister, you know. But the night the sister shows up, we're now no longer having a ritual. They're having a meeting. There's no talk about ritual. There's no talk about feasting. There's no talk about anything. It's just a random coven meeting.
Right. And did we lose the bit about where the suspicious mystery lady says Abby has a, you know, an ex-husband who's missing?
Yeah, we completely lost the ex, and we've also lost Jim's name.
Oh, wow.
And we also, and so this person also really did, like you mentioned before, like this person really inserted kind of their more personal feelings on it. So mm-hmm. whereas she says very confidently that Annie's unhappy about this woman, whereas before Annie was just awkward. Not necessarily unhappy. And yeah, then we also, yeah, we also have that the coven is really annoyed, which yeah. that didn't happen the first time. It was just, they were just kind of like confused.
Yeah. Like, who is this person and why are they just talking to Jim?
Yeah. This one also had that there was some like grand announcement as to don't look for my missing cat. Whereas that had been, just a offhanded comment made to Jenny when she offered to help. In this story, Annie or Abby Annie posted on social media like, don't look for the cat.
Which is so weird in itself.
Just
too.
So weird. And then like you said, the timeline's a little messed up. The coven was involved much sooner. Mm-hmm. And then I saw you react to this, but suddenly Jenny, our narrator, or Jenny, the friend in Portland, does not go to Abby's house to look for Abby. She goes to the sister's house.
Oh, yeah. There was just a lot that switched over. Like, I felt so quickly. So quickly.
And then... We all are the last thing on my list because I keep a list. The yeah, last thing good. On our list is we have lost Annie's or Abby. We've lost her vibes.
We don't know what was the blueberry tart gone?
Blueberry tart's gone. Ray Dunn collection gone. Mormon influencer mom hat gone. Not that oh she had a hat, God. But you can assume so.
Yeah, that goes with the territory, right?
It does. Like, we kind of lost all of, like, literally Annie's identity.
And it's so funny, the more we listen to these stories, I'm like, I need a resolution.
I'll write one just for you.
Oh, my God. I need a resolution. I think I've just been watching too many Hallmark movies this holiday season, and I just need to know where Jinx and Abby are.
You're like, yeah, like, what's going on?
I know. Oh my God.
All right, so are you ready for the third? So that was just the second retelling. We have two more left. Are you ready for the third retelling of poor Annie / Abby?
Yeah. Or Amy at some point, too, right?
Or Amy.
Oh my God.
And her missing but not missing cat, her sister not sister, and her husband, whose name we now don't know. Well, which husband? Her multiple husbands we may not know. Okay.
So, what I heard is that there's a woman, I think her name is Annie, who lives in Portland and with her husband. And she was having a meeting with her coven one night at her house. And then a woman showed up that nobody else knew. So the woman comes in. She doesn't talk to anybody except for Annie's husband. So they go through the rest of the night. And I can't remember if it was a couple days later or a couple weeks later, but Annie reports on social media that her black cat is missing. And then shortly after that, the group stopped hearing from Annie, and they decided that they were concerned and thought that maybe she'd gone missing. So they went over to her house, hoping to talk to her and or her husband. When they went to the house, her sister answered the door. And she said, oh, Annie and her husband are out of town. But then somebody looked up in the window and they saw Annie's husband in the window. So that's all that I heard. That's all that I know.
Ooh, we lost a lot that time.
We lost a lot. But you know what's weird? We have kept Portland.
Everybody just loves Portland.
So yeah, one thing that's weird is we've kept Portland through all this, yet we have lost everybody's name.
Yeah, we lost Samhain. We lost the Samhain ritual. Again, the meeting came up.
We've lost like Jim's name, Jenny's name, I think, Diana.
Abby's now Annie. Gone altogether. Yeah. She called Annie Amy once as well. So that was a switch up too. You know, just once she said Amy instead of Annie.
Oh, I missed it.
It wasn't Jenny that went to the house. She just said they. They all met, they had a meeting, and then they decided to go to the house.
So that's the thing, is we still have Portland and we still have the cat. But Jenny at this point has had no contact with Annie, which in our original story, she did briefly. Yeah, so far, Jenny never spoke to Annie Abby. It's Abby. Abby, after the meeting, which was a ritual, and in this one, the whole coven goes to the house. But we did get back Annie's house.
Yeah. Well, and we don't know the number in the coven either. So that could be a very interesting feeling. Because, I mean, having listened to the first one, we know there's about 10. Mm-hmm. So when I hear this rendition, I'm like, dang, it's like a pitchfork little coven mob showing up. But I mean, like, maybe in this rendition, the gossiper figures the coven is small. I don't know.
Oof. So are we ready to hear once again the final retelling?
Yeah, I'm actually really excited to revisit this one.
I feel kind of weird telling this story because of the implications, but let me just get your take on it. So I have a friend and she's in a coven, and the coven meets regularly at this girl's house. This lady, her name is either Amy or Annie. I couldn't catch it. And so the coven is there and they are getting ready to perform ritual. And this woman shows up and she's late. And then she just walks right in and she doesn't talk to anybody. And she performs the ritual with everybody as if she were just already a part of this group, of this coven, but nobody knows who she is. And then, so my friend saw the woman after everything, saw her talking to Amy or Annie's husband. And so my friend was like, huh, well, maybe, you know, she's just shy or was invited by him or something like that. So she just kind of wrote it off. And then so everybody leaves. And then a couple of days later, my friend realizes that she has to give something to Amy or Annie. And so she's calling her and texting her. She's not getting any responses whatsoever. So she's a bit concerned about that. But, you know, she just understands that everybody's life gets crazy busy. So she decides to just go by there. And so she goes over to the house and knocks on the door. And it's the woman who showed up late to the coven. She answers the door and says that, oh, you know, everybody's out of town. The family went out of town. And so my friend was like, huh, that's weird. I would have known that, maybe, unless it was last minute. And then so as my friend is walking away, she looks up and she sees the husband looking down on her from the window. So that's it. That's all I've got. That's all I know.
So this one's interesting because even though we lost the ritual two retellings ago, we got it back.
It's back. We're back.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
So she, even though that wasn't the original story, she was not told that. So she inserted the meeting.
Yeah.
Yes.
She did. Wow. And she inserted a family too.
Yeah, now there's a whole family instead of just a husband and wife.
Right, and a cat. The cat's gone.
The cat is completely gone. Well, so is the sister relationship. Now it's just a woman.
Yep, it's just a mystery lady who's shy. That was another inserted.
Shy.
Maybe she was shy. We were kind of wondering what was wrong. And, you know, she
and also
shy.
Maybe invited by the husband.
Yeah.
And then... Ooh. Our friend in Portland doesn't go over to the house because she thinks something's wrong. She goes because she has to give something back.
Yes.
To Annie / Amy / Abby.
The whole Instagram, you know, gone. Missing cat story is gone. The whole social media disappearance gone. Timeline gone.
So this story, so now where we've ended up after four retellings of this story is a coven ritual, a mysterious woman invited by the husband shows up and is shy. And then our friend goes to the house to give something back to the host. And she's mysteriously on vacation with her husband, who is in the house. That is something that stuck, is everyone really remembered, like, the husband looking down. And what's funny is I think for the past, like, two or three retellings, that's where the story ends. Whereas yeah. That's not where the original story ended.
It's such a good cliffhanger, because you're just like, I knew something was up with that shady husband. I knew it. That's a good place to end, but that's not the and that's where the timeline is so screwed up, and I think that feels like a good ending to a little gossipy story, but there is more, you know. Well, and the whole family thing too, the mystery lady now says the family is on vacation. We didn't hear about kids or anything other than a cat. But I guess the cat is a fur baby, so. But it's so amazing how much the story has transformed.
Can I tell you kind of what my thought process was when I was putting the story together?
Yes, absolutely.
I wanted to give a lot of little places for people to grasp onto, right? Okay. So it started with, wait, why is this witchy woman a Ray Dunn type, right? So it's like, now it's the question of, is she really who she says she is, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's the, she has a missing husband. Like, who is this woman? And then we have the mysterious sister who only talks to the husband. So then it's like, I wanted to give that, could this be a single white female situation?
Or sister wives.
Or sister wives. Oh my God, that'd be
Mormon
great.
Mormon and sister.
Mormon influencer mom, yeah. And then we have the missing cats, and then the husband in the window. So I wanted to give, like, a few different avenues people could, like, grasp onto based off their own experiences. Like, maybe if you have a bunch of, like, in your life, you feel quote unquote fake friends, would you more likely grasp onto that maybe Abby feels a little fake? You know? Or if you have a troublesome family, would you grasp onto weird sister? Or Like, you know what I mean? So I wanted to put in a few different places for people to grasp. And it seems like we lost pretty much everything except for the husband in the window. So I think we've learned our listeners don't trust men, which agree.
Same. That's fine. That's fine. So that's where I was caught too. I was like, I need to know what this guy is up to. He is up to something fishy and I don't like it.
Which is so funny because he's really done nothing.
He's just been there. He's just looking at, who knows? What if the mystery lady is holding them captive in the house? We don't know.
That was another kind of like, again, if you believe, again, if you have the weird family dynamic and you don't trust the sister, you may more believe she's holding the husband captive. If you don't like, if you have a questionable history with men, you may more, is he in cahoots with her? Did they get rid of the wife?
Well, and if you're an animal person, wouldn't you be panicked? I'm freaking out. Like, I just need to know Jinx is okay somewhere.
Yeah.
So that was my
thought process when I was putting the story together. I spotted a bunch of little places people could hook onto and maybe funnel and project.
Wow.
But I will say something I am impressed with, because I've heard this done before, and that is usually what happens, is people project onto certain aspects of the story. None of our listeners did that. And so what we've learned here today is we have a really pure, kind-hearted listener base.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. They didn't really project at all. And I've heard this done before. People project hard on stuff. So what we'll do is we will have a post on our Facebook titled What Happened to Abby? And we want to hear all of your theories. And maybe next month we will compile all of the theories, including mine and Kiki's, into a special episode. So we hope you have a wonderful evening. And we hope wherever you are cozy and happy and just enjoying the stillness of winter. And we will see you tomorrow for our annual Christmas variety show. Bye.